This is the homily for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2026, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass were the second book of Kings, chapter 4, verses 8 to 11 and 14 to 16. The letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 3 to 4 and 8 to 11. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 37 to 42. The homilist was Father Samuel Springle.
Hope. We use this word in a myriad of ways in our everyday lives. I hope it doesn't rain on Saturday so that we can enjoy Father Philip's cookout outside. Father Peter hopes that we'll get plenty of soft rain so that his plants will grow. We hope that people will like the gifts we get them. Parents hope that their children will have better lives than they did. If we pay attention to how the Catechism defines hope, however, all of these uses are wrong. The Catechism defines hope as the confident expectation of divine blessing and the beatific vision of God. None of my examples have anything to do with hope, at least not directly, or anything to do with God, at least not directly. And I very much doubt that most other uses of hope in our daily lives do either. But hope is a theological virtue, and thus true hope, according to the Catechism, has God as both its origin and object. That is why, despite the fact that the word hope appears nowhere in today's readings, I think it is entirely appropriate to say that the theme of today's Mass is hope. In our first reading, the beginning of the story of Elisha and the Shunammite woman that Father Gabriel spoiled last week, we hear of God making a specific promise to a specific person through Elisha. This is, in many ways, a single concrete example of what God does. He makes promises. These promises may be specific, as in this case, but they may also be broad, as in the covenantal promise to the Israelites to be their God and for them to be his people. But whether broad or specific, God makes promises and thereby invites us, those to whom those promises are made, to hope, to have a confident expectation in the fulfillment of those promises. And that is the theme of the responsorial psalm, confidence in God's promises. The psalmist is so confident in the fulfillment of God's promises that he declares he will sing of them forever. These promises are not secrets to be hidden away, lest in revealing them we prevent their fulfillment, like some wish made when blowing out the candles of a birthday cake. No, the promises of God are rather a sign of his faithfulness, a guarantee of his goodness. Whatever God has promised will occur, perhaps not in the way or timing that we expect, but our confidence in God's promises should be such that we are willing to stake our reputation and even our lives on them and proclaim them from the mountaintops for all to hear. Our lives. Yes, even our lives. What is death in the face of God's promises? As we hear in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, Jesus has overcome death. If we have died with Christ, we need not fear bodily death. God's promises cannot be thwarted by something so small. Sure, life tries to convince us that death is a big deal, that it is the ultimate end, the only thing guaranteed in this life, besides taxes. But in the face of God's promises, death is a small thing, a hiccup that can be resolved in 3 days. Hence, Jesus' teaching in the Gospel. God's promises are worth more than any of the guarantees given to us by this life. We need to let go of our worldly comforts. Not even family, the closest of bonds on earth, are worth anything in the face of God's promises. We need to be willing to put aside everything in this life, even our life itself, for the sake of God's promises, even the smallest ones. For the sake of a single drink of water in God's kingdom, hope should drive us to anything on earth. And so we have hope, We rely on God's strength to bring us to the fulfillment of his promises. Hope. Hope in the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.